proud sponsor of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is AARP Iowa. With over 370,000 members, AARP is helping families with a host of programs, from Fraud Watch to helping build more livable communities. Learn more at aarp.org.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. With me on our newsmaker line is Laura Kennard. Laura is with Drake University, DMAC, and also the Innovation Center that is out at Southridge, which is called The Runway. And I suspect, Laura, all of those things might be closed?
Yeah, you know, we go out to the runway. It's a weird time because we aren't technically, as you know, under a total lockdown the way Illinois is. And so there's a lot of encouragement to not meet.
You're right.
But then you know that there's businesses that people are still going into every day that are more than 10 people.
Sure.
You know, they don't seem to be closing those businesses until someone in the office turns up with a virus, and then they,
right,
you know, close the floor, close the building.
Yeah.
And but so some of them businesses have slowly, in preparation, been migrating their employees to remote, trying to get them set up with computers and technology. And then all of a sudden, you know, something happens and they have to go to it. Or, you know, here in the next few days, who knows if there'll be an order that says. So we kind of had been playing it by ear. So like every day, the task is to listen to the 2:30 press, you know, update with the governor and listen to what the recommendations are, but also what the requirements are, which Sunday there was another new issuance of, you know, closing down
right,
certain types of businesses. We had originally taken a stance with like our Res Blue Arena that's incubating in our space, other virtual reality and different entertainment things started doing online registration where you could limit it to like, you know, four people at a time coming in. But again, you know, we started to get messages from people saying, wow, isn't that irresponsible that you're doing it? Or just reluctance in general, people
sure,
self-imposing that they're not coming out. And so we, you know, took a step back. And even though it's not technically illegal or restricted, we just could see that it was the better thing to do.
Absolutely.
To say not to. And it's a very difficult decision, especially with startups that are just trying to get some traction, you know, so, but we, you know, aren't taking meetings and things anymore. And we are setting up our little podcast studio and a place that we can do videos easily in the future. But most of us are doing our meetings from home. So I think that really led me to start looking into what can we do during the time as business owners, where we're either going into our business that's now us alone, you know, sitting in our office. You know, are there some things that you can do to better set up your space so that you can do more virtual things even after all this, when maybe you can be more productive and you don't need to have people always coming out, you know, or vice versa. I think that on the other side of this, that there's going to be some workers that will say, why can't I just keep working remotely? Or why do we need to have that meeting that takes, you know, 15, 20 minutes to drive to get settled in and 15, 20 minutes to drive back if we actually can use tools and I think particularly video tools, because there's still something to be said for being able to see people, you know. And I think that there's always been some hesitance with technology, internet, you know, issues. And I'm not saying that we should never meet in person again, because I do also think it's nice to get out and see people and that's important. And then there's still a nuanced difference between meeting with people in person, but I think maybe we'll be better prepared if we need to have a meeting that's virtual, and also really consider more if the meeting really needs to happen in person or not, you know. So
yeah, most meetings,
we'll, you know,
I've been in the business world for decades, and I can tell you that most meetings usually are a waste of time. But
right, and so at least we don't need to drive and waste our time.
Right. So anyway, but people are using all kinds of virtual things that are out there.
They are,
and I know
Zoom. Yeah, go ahead.
I participated in several meetings this past week that were relatively short, actually, utilizing Zoom. And there's also something called Maestro that is out there. And you said something about Facebook Live.
We had already had a meeting scheduled between just three people, with myself and two other people. To talk about the synergy of our three businesses working together in the future. And so it was, this is a great time to have those meetings, you know, with people that usually are too busy or, so, you know, while we're on this pause, it's a moment to actually reconnect with possible partnerships. But obviously we can't do it in person very easily, or at all, you know, and so let's just, continue on and even maybe create some meetings that you've been wanting to have that you couldn't because of schedule. So what we decided was, how could we do this easily? And, so we did a little research to find out that WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger, of course, WhatsApp also being owned by Facebook, have the ability to do group video calls. So we got on our computers, we got on Facebook Messenger. All you have to do is actually create a group for your meeting. So, you know, just like you would create a group on Messenger, I think a lot of people have, you know how to do that. When we're sending out messages to family and friends, trying to prepare for birthday parties and anniversaries and stuff, you know, so create your group. And you can create it for that meeting. For example, we created one for our March 23rd meeting. And then once you're in there and you've invited the people and everyone has shown up at the designated time, then you just hit the video icon and everyone does that. And lo and behold, all three of us were on the screen together and we could talk. And it was, you know, a productive meeting that we really probably didn't need to have in person, to be honest with
Absolutely.
You.
See, there you go. See how wonderful this is. This is really, this is life-changing in so many ways. But, you know, I think that what's really great about this is that we are finding that I think people can be productive from home. There's all kinds of tips out there on how you can go about being productive from home. Mm-hmm. And with all of the tools that we have at our disposal right now, it really does make it much easier. Now, there are people, and we all know them, that cannot work from home and that they're required to go wherever it happens to be. But those of us that can, that's okay. And so, yeah, I get it. You know, there are all kinds of tools out there. And utilize them, I guess, is the word. Utilize them and stay out of the public eye. Come on, what are you doing?
You know, I've done some brainstorming sessions and some sessions where we're doing content mapping exercises and all of those things. You know, there really is something to be said for the opportunity to meet people in real life and actually have visuals up on a board and be writing things and put post-it notes up. I just did just before the shutdown, Chris Snyder at Drake did a wonderful design thinking workshop with a gentleman who does design thinking for the principal, actually. So they co-taught. And, you know, that was in person. And we did have post-it notes. And it is really important. So it's not about, you know, thinking that in the future we're never going to get together, but really thinking about, is getting together meaningful? I mean, I just think on the other side of this, you know, there are some definite benefits to remote working, which I think a lot of young people are want, you know, how wonderful is it as we become a more connected world and things like internet becomes more reliable and there's co-working spaces that are all around the world, that you could actually see the world as a young person and still be a productive employee, you know. But there are things that need to happen. First of all, you know, there's a couple business models where they do network these co-working spaces together so that an employer would know that their employee is working in a place that the internet's going to be reliable and they have good tools. So there's a couple places that actually curate these co-working spaces. So employers could do that if they wanted to let their employees do that. If you're at home, you obviously do need to make sure that you have reliable internet. I know that Mediacom and AT&T and some of the companies have now stepped it up during this time to allow for unlimited data so that you can do live streaming and a lot of work from home and not worry about going over data limits. I think that there's definitely going to have to be more possibilities with internet, fiber. You know, rural Iowa's already been struggling with being connected. And when you look at a time like this, how critical it is to have that infrastructure in place. And so I think that maybe in addition to looking at parking ramps and roads and all that physical infrastructure for cars, it's just as important to be developing and looking at connecting people virtually for times like this, but also so that people don't need to live in the city in order to have access to the infrastructure that would allow them to live the lifestyle they want in a smaller town and still be able to be part of the digital transformed future, you know?
Sure.
So
absolutely.
So I think that I hope that this really highlights the need for, you know, good digital connections. And so assuming that you have a good digital connection, there's lots of tips out there about how to create your workspace, how to not get distracted in your home. People have been doing this for years, maybe are comfortable with that. Other people go home and they're a little lost from their routine, you know. And so it's about creating a routine and treating it as if you are in an office. And but on an employer side, it also is about measuring people's performance in a way that's not about punching the time clock. So, you know, a lot of employers haven't made the leap to allowing, you know, their employees to work more remotely because they're fearful that they just won't be doing anything. And the only way that they have ever been able to gauge that is, you know, you came in and you were physically there, you punched the clock or you were there by 8 or, you know, whatever that requirement is. And I could tell you from my forays back into the corporate world, as brief as they were, because I've actually worked remotely myself or independently for more than half of my career now. But when I have been in offices, one of the things that really strikes me is that we still are so dependent on seeing someone in that physical space to have some sense that work is being done. And it's such a terrible measure of productivity, actually, because what I experienced in the 3 years in a workspace, and I won't say which workspace that is, but when I was there, the observations that I could make, there were some days, especially around the holidays, that half the day was spent not on doing work things. And so employers have to be able to set up collaborative teams, projects, things where the measurement is the output, not the number of hours that you spent supposedly in the office or on the clock, you know, because it's really hard to gauge how much time people are really being productive. And if you are in an environment where you're just over their shoulder all the time, yelling at them about, you know, what are you doing? Then you're just creating a really not fun work environment. So motivating people in other ways to work on their output, you know, finding ways to measure output, project goals, because you'd probably even find out that you don't even need some of the employees that you have if you can actually be measuring the projects that you're getting done and being efficient with those. So anyway, I just think that it's going to create a lot of opportunity for employers to really rethink how they're working with their workforce. So agreed. I guess is the message.
All right. Laura Kennard, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway.
Hey, thanks so very much for doing this. Appreciate it.
You are most welcome.
Take care of yourself.
I will talk. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Laura Kennard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Business News Hour with information about working remotely as well as, well, what do you measure? Are you measuring productivity and how are you doing that? Laura Kennard, of course, is with Drake University as well as DMAC and the Runway Innovation Center at Southridge. That about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks very much for being with us. For all of us associated with Business News, our Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Aaron Libby is in charge of sales and marketing. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Laura Kennard, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.